Okay. We do not have a quorum, but it's already about 5 minutes late, so we will go ahead and turn it over to Representative Holberg, and she can start describing her bill. And then once we get a quorum, I'll officially call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just so, again, I know we can't take official action until we have a quorum, but we will be asking for a major portion of Subdivision 2 to be deleted. On line 1.112, everything, delete data privacy, and then I guess you'd probably have to delete the semicolon too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that, Representative Holberg.
You'd have to delete the semicolon too and the words data privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then on line 1.13, after the word necessary, the remainder of that line. And all of lines 14 through 19. And basically, if we want to get into a data practices discussion, we certainly can, but we feel that current standards address the classification of data for health facilities that are licensed and the data that's collected under that process, and that this bill would fall under those standards. So these protections are already in place for this type of policy.
Could you restate the lines that you're going to want me to move to delete?
Sure. Again, on page 1, line 12, the semicolon and data privacy. Line 113, everything after the word necessary. And lines 14 through 19.
Okay.
And that will then also set us up so that we would then go to health finance and not have to go to the civil law committee, because we're really not implementing any new policy here. We're basically saying that this policy would fall under current law and that the information on individuals would be private under health licensing, current health licensing standards.
Okay.
So with that rather housekeeping matter taken care of, basically why we're here today, I guess, is because of the rulemaking. And in the bill currently, we are asking that the Department of Health do major rulemaking for the purposes of licensing clinics that perform 10 or more abortions a year. We have seen news reports of other areas of the country of some pretty horrific standards in abortion clinics, and while we're not saying that currently that exists in Minnesota, we feel that given the nature of the procedures that are being done in these facilities, that they should meet health standards. In addition, one of the things that's been brought to light is that while the current operators within the state may be meeting particular standards, and in fact one provider has a brand new what we hear state-of-the-art clinic, we don't know who else might want to come into the state and open up such a clinic, and given that there's no standards or licensing in the state, it would be questionable whether or not we would have the ability to enforce any standards. And Ms. Rao is here from MCCL if there's any questions or if she wants to add anything.
Do you want to testify, Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I don't need to testify, but I would be happy to answer any questions.
Representative Scalzi?
He was first.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Nelson. I didn't have the
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want a clarification here, something that Representative Holberg said. You said 10 or more a year. I'm reading the language in the bill on 1.9. It says 10 or more a month. So is it a year, 10 in a year, or 10 in a month?
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Nelson, you must have got more sleep than I did. So thank you for catching that.
I just wanted to make sure we were on the same page.
Yes, yes we are. My apologies.
10 or more per month. Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And this falls into another one of those hate Minnesota bills, I have to admit. We just can't do anything right here. We're just so bad, and everything is so wrong here. So because somebody did something wrong in Pennsylvania, we are no good in Minnesota. I just have to say it blows me away every time I see one of these things. And, in fact, why don't we convince Pennsylvania to do a better job? And what does Mississippi do then regarding this? Do you know?
Representative Holberg?
Madam Chair, I do not. But Representative Scalzi, I think that the point is here is that we don't want that situation to occur, and we have no ability to stop that. So, like I said, the new facility that was built is state-of-the-art, but what's to stop somebody from putting together a clinic that they cut corners, lower costs, compete with that state-of-the-art facility with no standards that they have to meet.
Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. And that's a lot of the arguments that we were making last night until 2:15, is that, you know, something bad might really happen here. And the majority party said, well, really, there's no evidence of anything bad happening with this bill. So given the lack of evidence of anything going bad in Minnesota, why do we have to be now like Pennsylvania? Why do we have to be like Mississippi? This is just a thread that's going through the legislature this year. And I know it's a lot of fun for a lot of people because you've got the votes. You're having a good time with it, and I get it. That doesn't mean we have to like it, and that doesn't mean we can't speak out about it. Because somebody did something wrong in Pennsylvania is not a good reason for me to say, Minnesota, you're bad. There's just no correlation. And now we know we're the only state that has a worse constitutional amendment than Mississippi. Even theirs is better than ours. Well, frankly, I'm very parochial about Minnesota. We have clean facilities in Minnesota, and until somebody tells me that we don't, I have no urge to try to say to Minnesota, you're wrong. I have no urge to do that. And I don't want to be like Mississippi, and I don't want to be like a dirty clinic in Pennsylvania, and I'm not assuming that we're that bad. So that's my comment.
Okay, thank you, Representative Scalzi. I'm just going to pause for a second there before I let Representative Holberg answer. We do have a quorum. Representative Simon, did you get a chance to review the minutes?
I have. I'll move the minutes, Madam Chair, of March 20th, 2012.
Representative Simon moves the minutes of Tuesday, March 20th. Any corrections? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion does prevail. I will move House File 2340 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on HHS Finance. And I will also move the oral amendment. Would you care to restate the oral amendment, Mr. Shepherd?
Madam Chair and members, the oral amendment was on page 1, line 12, delete the bold semicolon and the words data privacy. On page 1, line 13, delete everything after the period. And then page 1, delete lines 14 to 19.
Any questions or discussion to the oral amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the oral amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion does prevail. I'll turn it back over to you, Representative Holberg, now that it's in your shape, but the shape that you want, and you can answer Representative Scalzi's question if you so choose.
Madam Chair, I wasn't sure there was a question there.
Representative Holberg, it did bring a question in my mind about licensing, and I sat in the licensing committee the first time I was here. I was a freshman. I didn't know any better, and I didn't know how to fight to get off of it, so I was on the licensing committee, and I was shocked at some of the things that we do license in Minnesota that are, in my opinion, much less important than this. I think it's really important. If even there's one clinic that is not acting in the way it should, I think it's important that we license. But do you know of some of the other things that we license in Minnesota? I don't have a list in front of me. I'm just wondering if in your research you did some, if you have some ideas of some of the things that we license in Minnesota, just for comparison's sake.
I'll let Ms. Rao answer that question for you.
Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair.
I think you need to state your name I can't remember if I did that or not. But
sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Andrea Rao, and I represent Minnesota Citizens Concerned for Life. MCCL is a grassroots organization of more than 70,000 member families and more than 200 chapters across the state representing pro-life issues. And there are obviously many, many different kinds of establishments and facilities that the state does license and regulate. The list would be much too long to go through it, but I will state that, for example, last year the legislature passed a law that required licensing of body art establishments. The Department of Health currently licenses and regulates hospitals, outpatient surgical centers, long-term care facilities, and nursing homes. I think that it is fair that somewhere on the continuum between body art establishments, in other words, tattoo parlors, and outpatient surgical centers and hospitals, that abortion facilities, which are performing, in 2010, the most recent year we have statistics for, more than 11,000 abortions in the state. It seems reasonable that somewhere on that continuum, abortion facilities would be licensed and regulated. And Minnesota would be in good company in providing some kind of regulation for such facilities. Currently, almost half the states, or roughly half the states in the country, do provide some sort of regulation or licensure of abortion facilities.
Thank you, because I appreciate that, because it seems to me like, you know, we want to make sure we don't have fly-by-night facilities and we don't really know what they're doing. And if we're licensing body art establishments and outpatient centers, it seems that we, at the very least, owe it to the women of Minnesota to make sure that their health is safe when they go to these clinics. And so I wouldn't view it as a hate Minnesota thing. I'd view it as a pro-woman type of issue. But that's just my two cents. Oh, Representative Winkler?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Rao, are the health professionals providing this medical procedure licensed?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler.
Ms. Rao?
Yes, the health professionals are. But not the facilities, and so there's no way of knowing what the actual facilities are like.
Madam
Chair. Representative Winkler.
Ms. Lau, are other non-surgical health facilities licensed in Minnesota?
Ms. Rao.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler.
I said Lau. I'm sorry. I thought.
That's quite all right. I'll forgive you, Representative.
I'm a little tired. I've been doing something late at night lately.
Understandable. Other non-surgical facilities, medical facilities, I can't speak for all of them. I do know that medical clinics are not. However, abortion facilities are providing surgery. There are, in 2010, there were 7 facilities that would qualify under this bill for licensure. They provide more than 98% of all of the abortions in the state. That is a number of surgeries that are done. I think that if you look at the definition of, for example, an outpatient surgery center, if abortion facilities weren't, if all that they did was provide abortions, I think that they would be required to be licensed under the laws of our state already. It's only because they're providing other services that they fall outside of the existing licensure requirements.
Senator Winkler.
Madam Chair, Ms. Rao, that is not my understanding. And so could you please tell us under Minnesota law what the definition of surgery is and give us other examples of surgery centers that are not licensed according to your definition of surgery or the state law definition of surgery?
Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I actually do have the definition of surgery over here, but there are various definitions of surgery in Minnesota law. But outpatient surgical centers in Minnesota are required to be licensed by the state.
Madam Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Ms. Rao, if outpatient surgery centers are required to be licensed by the state and surgery, as defined in law, is being conducted at a clinic that we're talking about here, if that's a surgery and outpatient surgery is licensed, then the State Department of Health should already be licensing them. Or the alternative is what's happening is not surgery, but that's just a term that you're using to describe a procedure that's not surgical.
Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, the reason that the surgical abortions are not currently being licensed under the outpatient laws is because that the definition not of surgery doesn't encompass the abortions, but rather the definition of an outpatient surgical center. The definition of an outpatient surgical center excludes medical clinics.
Madam Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Ms. Rouse, so is your contention that it would be possible to conduct outpatient surgery at any facility that didn't meet the statutory definition of an outpatient surgery center? So if you're performing outpatient surgery in a garage, but you're not calling it a surgical center, it wouldn't be licensed and it would be legal?
Ms. Rowe.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I can't speak exactly to it being performed in a garage, but many surgeries, minor surgeries, are performed in medical clinics. For example, vasectomies are sometimes performed in a medical clinic rather than an outpatient surgical center.
Representative Winkler.
Ms. Rouse, let's say you say a minor surgery performed in medical clinics. If a clinic is providing vasectomies, do they need to be licensed as an outpatient surgery center?
Ms. Rowe?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, no.
So,
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Ms. Rowe, what I'm hearing then is minor surgery, like a vasectomy, does not have to be performed at a state-licensed facility. Is that correct?
Ms. Rowe?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, that's correct.
So, Ms. Rowe, why aren't we addressing any of those other minor surgeries? If the concern is health and not abortion politics, if the concern is health, why don't we address those other kinds of procedures? I mean, I don't want to be too personal, but I happen to think that vasectomies should be performed in a safe environment just like any other surgical procedure. And why would your bill not cover those?
Would you like to amend the bill, Representative Winkler?
Madam Chair, I don't know that I'm prepared at this time to amend the bill to include all surgery centers, and I'm not hearing totally consistent answers, but it seems to me that we shouldn't be trying to single out one kind of legal medical procedure to the exclusion of similar kinds of legal medical procedures if the concern is health and safety. If that's the real concern, then we should be looking at this more broadly.
Ms. Rowe?
Madam Chair and Representative Winkler, abortion is the circumstances of abortion. Women who go in to have an abortion typically want privacy, and they are not as likely to speak out if they do have a bad experience during the course of their surgery. And I think that is evidenced. I know people don't want to necessarily compare us to Pennsylvania, and I'm not implying that what happened in Pennsylvania is currently happening in Minnesota. But the clinic and the conditions at that clinic in Pennsylvania went on for years before it became public and the clinic was shut down. Two women lost their lives at that clinic, and that's a terrible thing. And the reason that it went on for years is because women who had those terrible situations didn't speak out. And I think that is partly because of the nature of the abortion procedure. And because women do want to keep that privacy, they're not ever planning on going back to that clinic or thinking that they're going to have to experience that again. And so they are less likely to speak out and try to improve the situation at that clinic. And it's because of the nature of that abortion is different. And the courts have recognized that abortion is a different kind of procedure and has unique circumstances. And that is why this bill addresses the abortion issue.
Well,
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Ms. Rao, your contention is that your assertion is that because women may feel less willing to speak out about the conditions under which an abortion was performed than other people would be about the way medical procedures or minor surgeries might be performed, that somehow that warrants a full set of regulations for abortion facilities but not for anything else. I think that's pretty silly. Just because you have a contention that some people might feel less safe talking about it, it doesn't mean that that's a justification for public policy. And it's possible that one of the reasons why women feel less comfortable talking about it is because in order to access a safe and legal procedure, they have to walk down the street and have people scream at them. And they have to have escorts to get there. I wonder why women might feel intimidated by that. I wonder why organizations like yours would talk about women's rights and the ability to access these services in this sort of pious way, yet at the same time be part of organizations that are screaming at women as they're trying to do it. I just, that doesn't ring true. I think this, I mean, I'd like to hear more from the Department of Health if, in fact, you can get a vasectomy in an unlicensed clinic, even though the provider is licensed or not. I'm not sure that if that's true. It seems to me we may have a larger issue here. But to single out abortion based on a speculation that women might be less willing to come forward is doesn't really give you cover for the political agenda that this bill would otherwise be operating under.
Ms. Rowe?
Madam Chair and Representative Winkler, I would like to say that MCCL does have a serious, we care very deeply about women's health. And to call that silly and our concern over this legislation is not appreciated. And as to your continued questions about whether or not medical clinics where some minor surgeries are performed are unlicensed or not, the Commissioner of Health, Commissioner Erlinger, testified in the Senate on this issue, and he said, quote, "The Minnesota Department of Health does not have the responsibility to license or inspect medical clinics."
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Ms. Rao, that doesn't really answer the question of what the definition of a medical clinic is and what procedures can or can't be performed there. So I think it's a legitimate question. If you use the example of a vasectomy, can a vasectomy be performed at a clinic that is not licensed as a facility to provide it or not? And I didn't say that you didn't take concern about women's health seriously. What I said is that the concern about women feeling uncomfortable is undermined by the experience that they have to go through in order to access something that is legal. And it's organizations that work together that are, on the one hand, expressing concern about women's willingness to express themselves or to complain about being badly treated. At the same time, I don't know if MCCL does it or not, or if it's other groups who stand there and get screamed at and have to have escorts. I mean, it's kind of hard to have that both ways.
Ms. Rowe?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, MCCL does not engage in sidewalk counseling.
Representative Winkler?
So, Madam Chair, I'm hoping we'll find out more facts from the Department of Health about what kind of surgeries get performed at what kind of centers and whether they're licensed or not, or someone else. Because we're requiring them to make rules for one type of procedure, but we don't really know what other kinds of procedures are being missed.
Representative Beard, at this point.
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. I've been to two pro-life rallies in the last couple of years. They were almost like church services. There was no shouting, no screaming, except from the pro-abortion protesters standing around the edge trying to disrupt them. Perhaps Representative Winkler is confusing it with, Occupy Wall Street or ACORN or ACT UP Minnesota or SEIU rallies, where there has been a lot of shouting, screaming, and I'm thinking of a very contentious hearing last year where some of us were actually spat upon by some protesters, but they were not pro-life protesters. I will make that very clear. Those people have been nothing but respectful, reverent, and decent folks to deal with in my many years of experience.
Madam Chair, just to be
Thank
clear,
you. Representative Winkler.
Representative Beard, I'm not talking about political rallies. I'm talking about women who are going to a medical facility to receive a legal medical treatment and having protesters stand there and scream at them and having to have laws specifying exactly how close people can be to have you to be screamed at and require volunteer escorts to go there. That's the kind of extremism I'm talking about, not the extremism of a political rally, which I think we can all agree on all sides of an issue can become overwrought at times.
I would agree with that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. If we could just kind of stick closely to the actual bill, that'd be great. Representative Nelson, you're next on the list.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Holberg, something you said in your earlier answer talking about not wanting to, we're talking about Pennsylvania and we're not wanting to have, a large proliferation of these, that in your belief that most of the clinics that are performing these now do a good job and have clean facilities in Minnesota, which speaks well of Minnesota, but is there a fear here that there's going to be a big proliferation of abortion clinics in the state of Minnesota? Is this a growth industry out there? I mean, can we look forward to having on every corner a Sam's Abortion and Tattoo Parlor or something? I mean, is this what you're afraid of, that you know, we want to make sure that we have these licensed so we don't have this large proliferation of these, because I don't personally see this as a growth industry.
Representative Holberg?
Madam Chair, I'm really not known for being afraid of much of anything, so there's certainly not a fear factor driving this bill. But I guess I'm just surprised that we wouldn't want a basic set of standards for these facilities to meet. Maybe that's not important, but I think that they should meet a basic set of standards, not overburdensome, but fair, and that we think that these facilities are safe and clean and properly staffed with the people with the right accreditations, etc. But we don't know that.
Senator Nelson.
But Madam Chair, is that any different than any, as Representative Winkler was pointing out, any other medical clinic out there? Do we know that they're safe and clean? I mean, I believe they are. The doctors and the nurses that are working in them are licensed professionals. And are these any different than a price where, like I said, you get a vasectomy or get a wart removed or get a other minor surgical procedures in your local doctor's office? The clinics there aren't licensed either. And so how are we just assuming that just because some of these places are performing abortions that they are therefore not following those same standard practices that the medical clinic or the medical field practices because they want safety for their patients?
Representative Holberg.
And Madam Chair and Representative Nelson, again, we don't know.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Either for the author or for Ms. Rao, I'm just looking at line 1.10 where it just says shall be licensed by the Commissioner of Health, and maybe, Madam Chair, you know, having served, and my condolences, by the way, for having served on the License Committee.
As I said, I didn't know any better. I was a freshman.
Well, I guess my question is this: do we typically do this and just say shall be licensed without putting any of the criteria in statute? I mean, I know for my own profession there are clear standards. You have to have attended accredited law school. You have to have passed the bar exam. You have to have a statement of sort of character and moral fitness. I mean, they're on and on and on. I don't know if those are in statute, but do we typically? I heard that, Representative Pepin. Do we typically put language this sort of general and vague? I don't know if this is different or not. It's a genuine question. I don't know.
Representative Holberg.
Madam Chair and Representative Simon, I don't know. I've never carried a bill with rulemaking authority before. We view the Department of Health as having experience in this area, also having the ability to look at what other states are doing. We don't want this overburdensome or onerous. And so we would expect that they would look at current standards that are in place for the outpatient surgical centers, et cetera, find out which ones they feel should be applied in this situation and develop rulemaking accordingly.
Well, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'll ask, and that's a fair answer, Representative Holberg, but Ms. Rao, would you, I mean, I assume you're going to want to have something to say about the criteria or the standards for licensure. So is it your thought that if this were to be enacted, you would just be heavily involved in the rulemaking process and sort of fight for rules that flesh out the criteria you want? I mean, I'm just puzzled by this sort of general statement of shall be licensed, or is that defined elsewhere in state law? Can you tell me how would you, I assume you have an opinion on what the standards should be for licensure. How do you plan, if this is enacted, to flesh that out or effectuate those standards?
Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair, Representative Simon, we actually have faith in the Department of Health that they could issue appropriate rules for licensure of the facilities. As Representative Holberg said, they have a lot of experience in this. They have examples of both state law and state rules, as well as looking at other states to go by. We have faith that they can do appropriate rules.
And if I might,
Representative Holberg,
Madam Chair, the fiscal note provides some structure to what the intent of the department would be around rulemaking, and that they would say that they would put requirements for infection control, staff qualifications and training, anesthesia procedures, disposal of materials, patients' rights, physical plant, sanitary environment, and reportable diseases, and that they assumed that the initial licensure activities would take an average of 24 hours of work by staff per licensee, and that on average they would inspect once per year and would likely take an average of about 73 hours. And they are basing this on their experience conducting inspections of ambulatory surgical centers. So, I mean, they obviously have taken what they're familiar with and extrapolated that for the rulemaking and inspection procedures in order to put together their fiscal note.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just another question. I came in a little bit late, so maybe you said this at the beginning. How many facilities do you think this would apply to in Minnesota?
Representative Holberg.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair, in the fiscal note, it said that they would regulate 8 clinics, health centers, or other facilities, and that they assume that there would be some flux in the market, and so they also assume 2 new providers by 2013.
Representative Scalzi.
Well, thank you, Ms. Chair. For either Representative Holberg or Ms. Rao, had you thought of declaring these clinics to be ambulatory surgical centers?
Representative Holberg.
Madam Chair and Representative Scalzi, we're looking at what the current standards are and some of the categories that are currently licensed to see if that's something that would work. But we haven't been able to dig through, as you can imagine, all the rules and regulations related to that. But it's something that we'll consider between now and Representative Abler's committee. We would like to avoid the whole rulemaking process, if possible.
Representative Scalzi.
And I would just say that, you know, you can either start a war or you can work through the process where there's no war. I mean, I'm an anti-war person as well. So it just would seem to me that this would not start the war. If you could somehow work through that other venue where everyone would be equal, it would make a lot of sense for a lot of people in Minnesota. We don't need to be fighting these battles. But I had one other question, too. I was because I heard about the tattoo parlors being licensed. And so, Ms. Rao, would you say that hepatitis is a health risk?
Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair and Representative Scalzi, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert either on tattoo parlors or hepatitis, but I know I don't want hepatitis.
Representative Scalzi.
And I guess I don't know anything about it either, but I know that hepatitis is a bad thing. That much I do know. So I'm assuming that there is a reason why we do license tattoo parlors, and I would assume that the reason is hepatitis, dirty needles, that kind of thing. So there are reasons that we license some of the things that we do. But when you get to the idea of the vasectomy, can you tell me, Ms. Rao, is there a dirty vasectomy clinic in Pennsylvania?
Ms. Rao?
Madam Chair, Representative Scalzi, I haven't heard any reports of it.
Representative Scalzi.
So do you know of any dirty vasectomy clinics anywhere in the country that we should compare ourselves to?
Ms. Rao.
Madam Chair and Representative Scalzi, this bill isn't about vasectomies, and I really don't have any expertise in the issue.
Well, I just...
Representative Scalzi.
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I just have to say I'm a real equalist. I don't think that anybody should be more important... Anybody's health should be more important than anyone else's. And I'm concerned about women's health. I'm concerned about men's health. And I think that if we really want to make sure that clinics are licensed, then we should make sure that any place that a vasectomy is performed should be licensed as well. In fact, I'm in favor of licensing everything. And if that's the road we're headed to, I'm in favor of that. It would take a lot of money, but we just can't point out one little thing and say that women's health is more important than men's health. I just don't believe in that, and I think that the best way to do this would be to create this as an ambulatory surgical center, and then we wouldn't have to fight over it.
Thank you. You know, I have a follow-up question to something Representative Scalzi said about the body art licensing. I'm wondering, is there a health risk? You might know more about this. Is there a health risk from staph infections from dirty needles? Do either of you know that, Ms. Rowe?
Madam Chair, I won't pretend to be an expert on needles.
I might ask the Department of Health when they come to testify, because I would think that there would also be a health risk from performing abortions that we might want to make sure is taken care of as well. I also want to point out that all of you on my left have voted for licensing hair braiding. So apparently that's more important to some of you than licensing clinics that do abortion. But we'll move on. We have several questions. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I found some of the discussion so far a little bit confusing. You know, comparing wart removal to what many people consider the ending of a life sort of trivializes what we're discussing. But more to the point, do we imply that being proactive on issues, especially health issues, that have presented themselves in other states in this nation is wrong? What do we say to the person that is your example that's required before doing this? And, you know, if this person dies, well, we didn't do this because we wanted to first have it exhibited in Minnesota. I think it's prudent, especially in health issues, to look at what has happened in our nation and be proactive to prevent these type of activities. So I support this as being a logical and prudent thing, and I don't think we have to wait for a tragedy to hit one of our citizens before taking this proactive measure.
Thank you. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and actually Representative Simon asked my question on the number of facilities that would be considered under this. But, you know, I'd just like to comment generally that we license a lot of things. And if we're licensing barbers and braiding of hair, I believe that we should license those areas that protect the lives of people.
Thank you. Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, there is somebody here from the Department of Health that I'd like to ask a couple of questions of. But first, I'd like to say, Madam Chair, that the testimony has already been that the people who provide these procedures are licensed. It is a false statement to say that it is unlicensed. It is not factual to say that hair braiding is licensed, but providing abortions is not. The people who do it are licensed. They are medical professionals like any other medical professional. That is a false statement. And I understand that at times it's helpful to repeat the same false statements over and over and over again and make these comparisons that are completely inappropriate in order to make your point. But this bill was presented as a health regulation bill. And so far, we have a number of questions about whether we are treating similar kinds of medical procedures similarly, or if we are making a special case out of a legal procedure that some people happen to disagree with. So I'd like to understand from the Department of Health if this is a general health issue, or is this making abortion a special target? So I'm going to not ask that kind of question for the department. I'm going to ask a more specific question, which is what kinds of procedures can be conducted at facilities that are not licensed? the professionals, the providers are licensed, but the facilities are not. What kind of procedures can be performed there today?
Welcome to the committee, and if you could just state your name before answering Representative Winkler's questions.
Thank you. My name is Jim Koppel. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Health. In answer to Representative Winkler's question, the Department of Health currently does not license clinics. The history of the way clinics have operated in Minnesota is you are, as a physician, you go through medical school, you get your degree, you are then licensed to practice. You are regulated through the medical board, appropriate medical board. So if it's a doctor's board of medical practice, nurses, a board of nursing, etc. Additionally, you are usually credentialed by every payer. So a health plan will credential a provider. If they're going to reimburse you, you need to meet their criteria, which generally is appropriate degree and license needed. And then additionally, clinics, especially hospitals, surgery centers, all have national associations that also do credentialing and come through, and clinics have to be credentialed under those criteria. So that has been the model that followed historically in Minnesota. We have not licensed any particular clinic. We do license surgery centers. Surgery centers are a little bit different than a clinic because a surgery center exists to do surgery. But it's not a primary care. You don't go there for other services. You generally go there upon a referral for a specific procedure, and it's done in that setting. So those are licensed and regulated by the Department of Health, but clinics are not.
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Mr. Koppel. So if a abortion were performed surgically, would it need to be performed at either a surgery center or a hospital?
Mr. Koppel.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, I am not aware that would be the case. There are some abortions that are performed in hospitals, but there are similarly done in clinics.
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Representative Koppel, I mean, it's my understanding that there's more than one form of an abortion procedure, and those that are surgical in nature, and I don't have the definition for that, but those that are surgical in nature, could they be performed outside of a licensed facility? Could any surgery be performed in a non-licensed facility in Minnesota?
Mr. Koppel.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, by surgery, I mean any outpatient surgeries are quite commonly done in clinics across Minnesota.
Representative Winkler.
And Madam Chair, Mr. Koppel, so outpatient, just to restate, outpatient surgeries are commonly done in clinical settings in which the facility is not licensed. And so therefore, if an abortion were done as an outpatient surgery, and only an abortions had to be done at licensed facilities, then abortion would not be treated as you'd essentially be changing the definition of an abortion as an outpatient surgery to something that could no longer be. In other words, you're not treating it like other kinds of outpatient surgeries. I'm having a hard time getting the words out here. But you're not treating, if the bill passed, an abortion would not be treated like other kinds of outpatient surgeries because it couldn't take place in an unlicensed clinic.
Mr. Koppel?
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, we don't define surgery, nor do we get into the issues of which surgeries are appropriate for licensure or requirements. We are, by statute, we regulate surgery centers, and the ambulatory surgery settings, and hospitals. We do not regulate licensed clinics.
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Mr. Koppel, so we used the example previously in here of a vasectomy, and under current law and regulation, a vasectomy could be performed at an outpatient clinic and that facility would not be licensed.
Mr. Koppel.
Madam Chair, Representative Winkler, yes, that would be correct. Under current and current day, that is correct.
So,
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, I guess the kind of the clear, to me anyway, answer here is that the state doesn't define what procedures are surgical and what procedures are not surgical. They don't define what are outpatient surgical procedures and what are not. They don't decide that a vasectomy is a surgical procedure that has to be performed in a certain kind of center or not, that the professionals themselves are licensed to make these decisions. And so if we pass this bill and apply it only to abortions, we are treating this particular kind of procedure differently than all other surgical procedures by specifying that it has to be done in a licensed facility. The bottom line roll-up of this question is we are treating an abortion procedure differently than all other kinds of procedures by making this requirement apply to it. And so it seems to me that we are not talking about health, we are talking about abortion.
Anybody want to comment on that?
No.
I didn't think so. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Winkler, for bringing that up. I work in healthcare, so I have some insight into how procedures are determined to be inpatient or outpatient or what the appropriate setting of care is. And generally, it's basically physician judgment in combination with kind of what common practice is. And it needs to be justified in order in the documentation in order for insurers to cover it. And so I would just like to reiterate what Representative Winkler said, which is that we are essentially getting involved in the practice of medicine by saying that certain kinds of procedures are now going to be regulated in this way, and that's different from how the inpatient-outpatient determination is made for other procedures. So that is one of the reasons why I'm not a fan of this bill. Also, I just think it's, you know, I'm trying to think of the kind of legislative phrase for it's getting in the grill of people who are in who have chosen.
I don't either.
Okay. I guess I want to say a little bit, but you know, nicely. I realize this is, you know, a formal forum. I want to say a little bit of like, please back off. You know, people who are pursuing these procedures, it's, you know, it's their personal choice, and I'm surprised, not really, that we are here discussing this at the legislature. You know, I notice in the outside of the legislature in the news that every time I look at the headlines, especially on women's health issues, that I feel like I'm looking at an Onion headline, but in fact it's real news from Arizona, from New Jersey, Virginia, wherever it is. And I really hope that Minnesota will not become one of those states.
It doesn't look like you're looking for a response.
Thank you.
She's just getting in the grill.
Just getting in the grill. Okay. Representative O'Driscoll.
That's right. I represent an urban district.
I live in a district that urban.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the Deputy Commissioner, thank you for being here today and helping shed some light for us on this topic. I have to tell you, this is a very educational experience for me today. As a consumer of health services in the state of Minnesota myself, I found it kind of interesting that the Department of Health regulates the provider but not the facility in which many of these services are provided. And I wonder how many Minnesotans are aware of that whether or not you would walk into a facility where you're going to have procedures performed, and I will use the term head to toe, and not know that the facility itself is going to be inspected, that we've left that to private accrediting associations or national standards and boards, but our own Department of Health, which is charged with and has the duty of holding the public's trust, doesn't go into these types of facilities, whether it be the one that we're talking about today or others. That was quite an education for me this morning. I was wondering if you could comment.
Mr. Koppel.
Madam Chair, Representative, actually the Board of Medical Practice used to be within the Department of Health and is now an independent Board of Medical Practice. So I guess traditionally you could say it was housed there and that's where the physician license occurred. But we have never been asked to regulate or license all clinics. And medicine has changed. Certainly there are more outpatient procedures than there were, you know, any given number of years ago. But that our model is not dissimilar from many states in that they the credentialing and the Board of Medical Practice and that individual physician license has been the carrier of that public trust and the duties that go with it.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I just go back to the comment that I made before that I was very very educated this morning on the I don't want to use the word lack of inspection because, as you pointed out, there are others that do that. But our own Minnesota Department of Health does not go in and make inspections of the facilities, but then does regulate the provider of such services. Again, I'll use the term head to toe because of the scope of the nature and not specifically tying it to the matter before us. Again, I found that to be a real education, and I would be willing to bet if you asked 99 out of 100 Minnesotans, do you think that the Department of Health goes in on a regular basis to some of these things? Their answer would be yes. I believe that the government is checking up on those kinds of things. Whether they tend to agree with that or not, they as an appropriate role of government, I would believe that most people would think that that's occurring.
Okay, we have one more member on the list right now. I do want to get Ms. Jackson to, she has requested to testify, but Representative Quam, I think, has a question for the Department of Health.
Mr. Koppel. Just for clarification, some of the procedures that were brought up in discussion, wart removal, vasectomy, etc., have they had any deaths from complications? And then also the second part is, I believe there have been deaths from complications of abortions. So can you clarify? That would help me understand the difference.
Mr. Koppel?
Madam Chair, Representative Quam, I don't have that information with me today. I don't know if there is a requirement on a report for abortion reporting, but I am not aware of the other, you know, incidents of death or complications from other procedures. I would have to go back and see if we have that information or if it exists.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Jackson, could you come up? And I know you wanted to speak. Thanks for being patient.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Carolyn Jackson, and I am the lobbying coordinator for the ACLU of Minnesota. The American Civil Liberties Union of Minnesota is funded and supported by over 8,500 members statewide. Our mission is to defend constitutional rights under the United States and Minnesota constitutions. The state has a strong interest in protecting women's health. However, House File 2340 does not accomplish that goal. According to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, regulation of abortion must not be different from regulation of other similar outpatient procedures. Secondly, regulation of early-term abortion must be related to maternal health. These two holdings are supported by the Supreme Court decision in Planned Parenthood of Southeast Pennsylvania versus Casey. Currently, the state of Minnesota, well, we heard about what the regulations are currently in Minnesota from the Department of Health. House File 2340 singles out abortion clinics without differentiating abortion from other outpatient procedures. No testimony was provided in the Health and Human Services Committee that differentiated abortion from other outpatient procedures. There's no rationale for this regulation. In fact, House File 2340 does not even regulate abortion. Twice in the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, the author of the Senate bill was asked to change this bill to apply to all clinics that perform abortion, and twice the author refused to do so. By exempting clinics that perform abortions less frequently than other clinics, this bill explicitly serves to use the state's police power to drive some clinics out of business. It has no relation to medical safety at all. One could even argue it diminishes medical safety. Let me use an analogy. If one needed a cancerous melanoma removed, would one choose a clinic that removes one a year or a clinic that removes at least 10 melanomas a month? Personally, I would go with a more experienced clinic. There has been no finding that this bill advances the state's interest in protecting the health of its people. By exempting clinics that perform abortions less frequently than other clinics, this bill raises the question whether its main purpose is to reduce access to abortion services, not to improve medical safety. Therefore, we urge you to vote no on House File 2340.
Thank you. Any comments for the witness? Representative Hancock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Jackson, Part of the bill is talking about 10 or more pregnancies. And you were, I believe in your testimony, saying that, are you saying that there's no threshold of numbers that is a threshold that can be regulated? As the Supreme Court or any court ruled, say, on the number of 10 or the number of 20? Or, in other words, you were saying that it couldn't differentiate from a what you might call a small provider from a large provider. Is there any standard there that has been established as a viable standard?
Ms. Jackson.
Madam Chair, Representative, the point is that number 10 is random. It has nothing to do with medical health whatsoever. It has to do with the frequency with which the abortion procedures performed. There are clinics that perform less than 10 a month that are not regulated. Therefore, it's not related to any medical procedure. It's related to the frequency with which they're done. And it has nothing to do with health.
Ms. Rao wanted to answer as well.
Yes, Madam Chairman, Representative Hancock. In Texas, they had clinic regulations that were upheld by the federal courts there. And in Texas, they set a threshold of 300. And the court said, quote, while anyone could say that it is just as rational to draw the line at 10 abortions per month or 3 abortions per month, this type of line drawing is typically a legislative function and is presumed valid. Those regulations were upheld in Texas.
Oh, any other questions for Ms. Jackson? Representative?
Not for Ms. Jackson.
Okay, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Representative Winkler, do you have a question for?
Madam Chair.
Representative Winkler.
To the author, Representative Holberg, I was able to do a quick internet search of outpatient surgeries that are currently capable of being performed on an outpatient basis, not currently regulated as your bill applying to, in the way your bill is applying to abortion. But among them are breast excision and biopsy, all dental procedures, cataract surgery, vasectomies, tubal ligation, tube tying, limb or fingers or toes amputation, and surgery on the lens of your eyes. Now, if we have a concern about the health and safety of outpatient procedures, it seems to me that we should be equally concerned with this list as we are with abortion. And the comparison isn't to tattoo parlors or hair braiding or anything else. The comparison is how we regulate all these other kinds of outpatient procedures. And if you don't want to treat abortion similar to those other things, you're singling it out. And I don't know why would you craft a bill to not apply to all those other kinds of outpatient surgeries.
Representative Holberg.
Madam Chair and Representative Winkler, that wasn't my interest, basically. If you look at the situation that we saw in Pennsylvania that brought this to life, and you know, certainly that's something that we could discuss as far as the other procedures, but it's not that it's something that I considered as the bill got put together. But I do think that making sure that the clinics are safe and clean and that proper procedures are being implemented for disease control, et cetera, are important. And considering the other procedures that you just listed, you know, we can certainly look into it, but it's not something that I'm prepared to deal with today. So,
well,
Representative Winkler.
Madam Chair, Representative Holberg, I mean, I understand that abortion is a special interest of a lot of people, but it's still a legal procedure, and we should still treat it like any other legal procedure. And I don't support your bill, would urge us to reconsider passing this legislation without looking at the broader issue of surgical centers. If there's a problem with how we regulate outpatient surgery, we should identify that. And rather than pass a bill based on the sensationalism of one particular instance in Pennsylvania, we should understand what the facts are in Minnesota and proceed carefully. If we have a regulatory environment in healthcare in Minnesota that is functioning, singling out an abortion bill just looks like a political move, not like a health move. And I think we should be far more careful about how we approach this. So, Madam Chair, I'd request a roll call vote, and I'd urge us to vote no.
A roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Representative, I don't see any other questions. Representative Holberg, did you want to make any closing comments?
No.
Okay, clerk will take the roll. Oh, I'm sorry, I should renew my motion before we vote. I will renew my motion that House File 2340 be recommended to pass as amended and be re-referred to the Committee on HHS Finance.
Representative Pepin.
Aye.
Representative Murray.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
No.
Representative Beard.
Aye.
Representative Green.
No.
Representative Hancock.
Aye.
Representative McFarland.
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Aye.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Scalzi.
No.
Representative Erdahl.
Aye.
Representative Winkler.
My vote is no. Mm-hmm.
There being eight ayes and four nays, the motion does prevail.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee.
Thank you. Members, we do have a committee hearing tomorrow. We'll be taking up the pension bill, so try to be here on time so that we can get a quorum and move forward. Meeting adjourned.